Good evening. Woo! All right. Please open your Bibles to James chapter 5. And I'm not joking. It just impacted me so much that I figured we should just go back to James 5. There's a specific point that I wanted to bring out tonight that I guess we did cover it in our class, but I figure there's a really good practical lesson that we can apply to our lives, and I really want to encourage you guys on it. And I guess I kind of did throughout the class, but hey, if we get to listen to it again, you guys aren't going to complain, amen? All right, I got about half of them, okay. That's actually pretty good. I saw some yawns. I was yawning myself, so I'm actually pretty surprised. So let's read James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again. And the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity I get to come up here tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your patience. God, we can't really fathom the cost and the price that you paid and the amount of love that you have shown to us time and time again. I just pray that we never take that for granted, and we can take that love and we can obey you, and we can also take that love and spread it to other people. Thank you so much that you have given us Christ, the Word, and also the body. We have a very tight-knit, well-oiled machine. And you have brought us into this wonderful body, your body, ultimately, Father. Pray that we can just have an encouraging message tonight, that it's the words that you want to be spoken, and we have great fellowship. In your son's name I pray, amen. All right, so what I want to talk about tonight is pray for one another. Okay, so James 5:16, we have confess your sins to one another. But for what reason? All right, who's gonna come up first? And they're gonna just, you know, here, I give you the mic. Come confess your sins. That's not really what was being communicated in James 5. Why does James say we need to confess to one another, though? What's the context? To pray for one another. The healing. There's healing in that. And so in the class, I know we talked a lot about that, but tonight I really just want to talk about praying for one another. And I think it's something that if we really key in on and we actually apply it in our daily lives, I think there could be tremendous growth from that, don't you? What if we prayed for one another on a day-to-day basis? What would that look like? What kind of fruit would that produce? How would that impact our relationships with one another? I'm willing to try it out. How about you? You see, the thing is that no person is an island. And ultimately, we know that even if we are thrown to an island, we ultimately have Christ. But God has designed His body in a specific way, and each one of us is placed in a specific part, in a specific time, for specific reasons. It's not by accident that you're sitting by the person that you are. It's not by accident that you were placed into Billings, Montana in this time zone and, you know, everything worked out the way it did. We're here for each other. And I often think of Paul writing to Timothy. And he said, hey, don't be surprised, basically. When you live godly, guess what's going to follow that? Persecution. All those who want to or wish to live godly in Christ Jesus in this world, they will, and not maybe, they will be persecuted. You will face persecution. Now, why am I bringing this up? You know, why would I bring up persecution and prayer in the same thing? Well, the idea is that Satan is really attacking the church. And he's going after it time and time and time again. And sometimes we got to get serious. We have to get strong. But sometimes I think, at least for me, I can get so caught up in doing what I'm doing and I'm running my race, and maybe I can forget that maybe you need prayers as well. You see, the church is really under a lot of attack from the devil. And the devil would like nothing more than to take out some outliers. You know, some people that are struggling. He would like nothing more than to take a long-standing marriage and to divide it and break it into a million pieces. He would like nothing more than to take new Christians and to just sweep them away with false doctrine or whatever it might be. I felt the attacks in different ways. How about you? It's real. It's very real. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of other people are going through that as well. James said, hey, you know what? You get people involved in your life, but it's not just so you guys can all gossip to each other and, you know, just tell each other all your problems and, hey, that's tough to hear. I have problems too. You know, what was the purpose behind that? The purpose was to pray for one another that there may be healing, that there may be growth. But sometimes I think we can lose sight of really the power of prayer and what it can do for one another. So actually, just for starters, I want you guys to just briefly look around and just smile at somebody. Wave. And everybody's waving at me. Okay. You know, lock somebody, that face in your mind, and remember, if you can remember their name, say their name in your head or something like that. You know, right now I got Josh Goal on the brain. We locked eyes, and I smiled. When was the last time that you prayed for that individual? Or do you even know what to pray for that individual? I mean, look around at the body, and it's beautiful, but man, there's a lot of people that could probably use our prayers. I could use your prayers. It'd be greatly appreciated. And I know you probably would appreciate my prayers as well. And I've been trying to implement that recently, not to credit to myself, but it's a habit that I've heard from somebody else, and I've been trying to duplicate that. Pray for people in the congregation intentionally. Pray for Bible studies. What about some of the faces, not to try to pinpoint specific people per se, what about some of the people that are not here tonight? Some of the faces that you've been missing. Hey, I really wish I got to see them today, and I didn't. I actually, now that I think about it, I haven't seen so-and-so for 3 weeks. When was the last time you prayed for them? If I was under tremendous persecution, I would greatly appreciate your prayers. And I would greatly appreciate your prayers on a day-to-day basis. The power of prayer is, it cannot be underrated. See, the power, it actually often is, but the power of prayer is something that we see in James 5. And what does Elijah do? He's an example that was painted here in James. And he says, the scripture says that he was able to pray and it did not rain for what? Over 3 years. That's powerful. What if one man's prayer impacted Billings in that way? And he prayed again, and it rained. One guy. What about the spiritual growth? You see, you think God is really worried about whether it rains or it doesn't rain on a day-to-day basis? I don't think so. What if the whole body of Billings came together and we prayed that the word would spread rapidly, that the body would build up one another, that the body wouldn't tear down? You know, there's a lot of petty things that happen in the church. And I don't know off the top of my head if anything is here that's happening, and I'm not accusing any of y'all. I think Billings is a very, very bright encouragement reflection of Christ across the world. How about you? Do you believe that? Billings is a great encouragement to me. You guys are a great encouragement to me and my wife and my family, my parents, my sisters, they left. You know, I try not to. I can't help it sometimes. I don't know. Anyways. The point, really, I hope I'm driving this point home, and that's prayer is very powerful. And praying for one another is very important. What happens when we really pray for one another? Well, we actually get to know each other better. You see, if I start praying for Larry Miller over and over again, sooner or later I'm going to either just be saying, God, I just pray that Larry has a great day today, or I'm going to actually want to know more about Larry's day. I'm going to actually pursue the relationship. You see, when we actually think more selfless rather than selfish, it changes our perspective. And you know what happens when we start reaching out to people we've been thinking about in the congregation? Well, then those people know we're thinking about them, and then they think that's a good idea, so then they want to know somebody else. And what happens is you have this exponential growth. That's the way Christ designed it, amen? One impacts two, and those two, they go impact two apiece, and before you know it, you got 150 people. And Billings is actually at a position as far as the size and the growth that I think there's going to be a lot of growth in the next few years. But we got to keep the momentum going in the right direction and keep praying for one another. And when we're praying for one another, maybe we will forget about the petty things and we'll forget about tearing down and wondering why so-and-so is doing this specific way. And, you know, maybe if you have an issue with somebody, maybe we should just pray for them. Maybe if there's really an issue that's really bothering you, we can bring it up to them and have a conversation. Say, hey, I don't know if you meant this way, but this is how it came across. I want to be in a position where I can ask for prayers. Maybe you guys can pray for a Bible study of mine. Maybe I can pray for your marriage. Maybe I can pray for the Christian school. You know, I was thinking about this and thinking about persecution and how it attacks the church. Man, one of the biggest ways that I saw that growing up in my childhood was how the youth were attacked in the public schools. I think back to all of the people I grew up with, all the faces, all the names, all the people that I was so close with. And again, a lot of them didn't make it. Now, they're still in their 20s, maybe some in their 30s, and they can still turn it around. But guys, the church is under tremendous pressure, and I actually wanted to just throw this in there real quick. You know, the Christian school is a very good thing. Just kind of throwing this on the side. The Christian school is very, very good. Now, I'm not saying that it's mandated by God and you have to have a Christian school, but you know, there are a lot of people in the congregation that are putting a lot of effort and work into it, and they would appreciate your prayers. Somebody that came to mind that there's so many people in the school that I could really commend in a lot of ways, but you know, Mrs. Bolton, she's been a great encouragement to me. She's in there several days of the week. She's got several kids she's got to wrangle. And she does a great job and she has a great attitude. Hey, don't you think that would be worth praying for that? See, when the body comes together, we can overcome great obstacles. And the thing is that we're going to be persecuted. And there's going to be multiple attacks, multiple attacks. And there's so many different examples I could turn to. One of the beauties when we are praying for one another and that we actually get to have real conversation is that there's an open line of communication. You know, I was talking to Jay Wilson one time and I asked him about marriage advice. I've had a lot of good marriage advice. I've been very grateful for that. I've talked to a lot of people and I remember a lot of different things that stood out to me and I've been very, very grateful for that. And one of the things Jay Wilson told me is, this was in family camp. We were just sitting in the tent by ourselves. And it was one of those, I think it was getting later in the evening. And he said, you know, communication is a big deal in marriage. And I'm paraphrasing, so don't take this as a direct quotation. But he basically said what everybody else says is that communication is a big deal. You need to make sure that you're able to communicate with one another effectively. That's really key. That's really important. He said, but when there's no communication, that's when it's really dangerous. It's when you stop trying to talk to each other, you stop trying to work through things together. He said, that's when it's really becoming an issue. And I don't know why that always stuck with me, but, you know, guys, if we stop communicating with one another and to God in our prayer lives, you think that's going to hurt us in the long run? You see, God designed prayer, and it's such a beautiful thing to always have access to Him at any time. You can come to Him at any time, and you can pray for other people. Are you going to take advantage of it? Do we pray for one another? Really, I wanted to keep this message short and sweet because there's not much more that I can, you know, dive into on all these different routes. But I want you to think about the people that are in your lives. Are you praying for them? And this is where I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm just trying to figure out a way to communicate to you that this is something we have to take and actually practically live it out. And good habits are hard to form, but you know what? Maybe you pray for a different person for 21 days out of the week, and guess what? You have a new habit that's formed. Let's turn on over to Hebrews chapter 10. You see, sometimes I think why we avoid prayer is because it takes actual consideration. It takes actual thought. It's hard. Sometimes you're really tired mentally and you want to do something that's just, you don't have to really think about anything. But when, you know, it's a long day, you know, you think about Jesus and He had long days and then He turns around and He goes and the way He recharges is through prayer. That's pretty exciting. I don't know about you, but that's a great example for me to look up to. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, actually, let's do 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, what is something that the writer of Hebrews is telling us to do here, and that is to actually consider, right? Considering things take a lot of work. It's hard on the brain sometimes. Consider how to pray for somebody. Consider how to stimulate somebody to love and good deeds. Oh, side note, that word for stimulate, just throwing this in there for free, you can find that also in Acts 15, and that's where there's a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Sharp disagreement. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's just in there for free. That's a whole other message. But the point I really want to key in on is that we need to consider one another and really what does somebody else need? What does my brother or my sister need? And we know Hebrews chapter 3, as long as it's still called today, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do, church? As long as it's still called today, Hebrews 3 says to encourage one another. And I don't think that they had, you know, text messages and emails where they just sent these mass things out and they just got everybody taken care of in one, boom, it's done. I think that they put a lot of work into that. I think that there was real dedication to encouraging. And so when it was saying, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, it probably was more than just, this is just a quick thought here. I'll just say hi. How are you doing? Now, unfortunately, maybe I've gotten to this point where I don't even do, hey, how are you doing, on a quick text. But it would be very beneficial to the body, maybe. These are practicals. If we were to text somebody and say, hey, is there anything that you need me to pray for? This is me preaching at myself. Anything that you need from me? Oh yeah, what's the best thing that you could give to somebody else? Well, maybe pray for them. Hopefully we pray for the lost. What about the body? Do we pray for specific individuals in the body? Do we believe in the power of prayer? Let's go to John chapter 17. Actually, let's hit 2 Corinthians chapter 1 along the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, you know, Paul went through a lot. He endured a lot of trials, a lot of tough things that he went through. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we did not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. So we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. See, just stopping right there real quick, Paul has obviously been through a lot. Peril of death. God delivered him. Sounds like he was going through a lot. Have you been in a position where you think you're going to die for the kingdom? Are we working that hard for the kingdom? Well, verse 11, he says, he's talking to the Corinthians, he says, you also joining and helping us. How are they helping? It's through your prayers. So that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. How did the Corinthians help Paul? Well, multiple ways, but here we see they're helping him through their prayers. Let's go to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, many of us are familiar with this. Jesus is praying for his disciples. You see, he also prays for you, though. Jesus prayed for you first. Jesus was praying for you all along, way back then, and he still makes intercession for us today. John chapter 17, verses 13 through 23. Jesus said, "But now I have come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy, my joy made full in themselves." This is Jesus praying for his disciples. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. If you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word." See, he's also praying for you. John 17:20, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone." Jesus is talking about his disciples in that context. "But for those also who believe in me through their word." Jesus is praying for you here. Verse 21, "that they may all be one." Are we all one? One in Christ? "Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even as you have loved me." You see, Jesus was praying for you before you even knew what was happening. And I know many parents pray for their kids before they're even born. You see, Jesus knew that we were going to come together as a body to be one. And he is praying for us to be unified, ultimately in Christ, so that the world would believe his message. The church in Billings has tremendous potential. It already has been proving that it is a light in Billings, in Montana, in the United States. Let's keep going and let's pray for one another. Amen? Let's close in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to pray. Thank you so much for this congregation that you have blessed us with. Really, truly is a blessing to look around, see all the people who are really putting you first in all that they do. I just pray that we can continue to pray for one another, that we can open those lines of communication between each other, but also between you, Father. Pray that we don't ever stop praying, that we are prayer warriors ultimately for you, but we pray for one another, encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. So in your son's name I pray, amen. So I actually have an announcement. I'm also closing out a little early, kind of like Nolan's message, where y'all go get to eat. Not quite. The Biscos, they have root beer floats, if I'm not mistaken, back there for Chantel's birthday. So, kind of like in the spirit of Nolan's message, you know, maybe go talk to somebody, see if they need something to pray about. And yeah, you guys are dismissed. Thanks.